It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here on Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle at the TI, easy to get in and out of Spring Mountain. This is a way to be on the Strip without even having ever to fight the Strip. Doug Douglas here and Griffin Kemp on Friday the 13th. We're going to just stick with the line that Cofield's not on vacation. He's just too scared to be out here on Friday the 13th.
He's a wise man who doesn't take risks like going to the TI on Friday the 13th.
Maybe that's it. But we did say, you know, you should come on down here. And I did tease, I have family up in Reno, so my Aunt Martha is listening, or Connie, my cousin, is listening. My Aunt Martha turned 94 on Monday.
Woo! Oh, man, happy birthday. You said Martha?
Well, she played peekaboo with me, so I always call her my Aunt Boo. So.
Oh, Aunt Boo, happy birthday. That's incredible.
She remembered. I said, hey, turn on at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it is time for the big 4 at 4, and of course, number 4.
Oh, we ain't got the music bed or anything? There it is.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big 4 at 4. Number 4.
There we go. Number 4. Last night in the NHL, of course, great game.
Great game.
Panthers versus Edmonton. As if you heard me earlier, when it was 3-0 in the second, the wife said, can we watch a show on Netflix? I go, yeah, it's 3-0. Florida's going to run away with it. I learned nothing in these playoffs because of the comebacks. Then all of a sudden, but I did get back in time for overtime.
Okay,
so
good.
So I did get to see that.
Very nice.
But the big news for some people, not for me, but was that Travis Kelce was there with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, so apparently the power couple of the century, they pulled up to the game helicopter. They flew in on helicopter.
Helicopter.
They got the presidential escort to their box. They were treated real well. They even got to sit with Wayne Gretzky during the game. So, And Jared, you know, I think this is one of his topics. He brought up a good point, which is a lot of people have taken notice that we've not seen the same Travis Kelce we saw before his relationship with Taylor Swift. He's donned new hair. Seems to talk a little different. He's moving a little different. And that's to be expected when a man gets into a relationship. And so one good question Jared had, have you ever changed yourself? Or do you notice you've ever changed once you've gotten into a relationship?
I know I have. This would have been a long, long time ago. Not with the wife I've been married to for 25 years.
Right.
But with a woman, she did not like the way I'm T-shirts, jeans. That's me.
She had an issue with your fashion.
She had a big issue with my fashion. And so she took me shopping at a place. I don't know. Who knows? It might have been Nordstrom's, which I couldn't believe back in the day. And I was like, I'm not paying this for a belt.
She's like,
I mean, it was like, this was back 30, 40 years ago, I swear. And it was like, I went, there was a belt for like, you know,
$70.
$70?
Yes,
and this was 30, 40 years ago. I was like, I'm not paying that for a belt.
Was it made of baby panda or something?
It should have been made of something.
Oh, my gosh.
But she was pretty good looking, and I got the belt, and I changed the way I dressed. And even, you know, I'm kind of loud and boisterous sometimes, changed my personality a little bit. And then she left me for another guy.
Hey, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. I mean, same thing. I had a relationship where I was actually dating a girl who was Vietnamese. I got to go out to a lot and try a lot of different food, and it actually changed my taste buds. It actually made
me. Wow.
Yeah, so I tried a lot more stuff like kimchi. Kimchi was the one thing I took from that relationship that is still with me, that I still will buy. A big old thing of kimchi. You know what kimchi is? Yeah, cabbage, some real spiciness.
I've never been
there.
Brave enough to have that.
Oh, it's so good. I will recommend kimchi to anybody who will listen to me, and that's a lot coming from, you know, me recommending kimchi. People are probably listening to me.
So, in other words, you didn't change any of the way you look, just what you were eating in your taste buds.
I was a little bigger. I was eating pretty good amount of kimchi. So,
yeah. Well, you'd think that'd be good for you. You wouldn't be gaining weight on kimchi.
Not the amount I was eating.
Jared, did you ever, what did you bend the knee for?
So, a girl once told me that men do not drink from glasses using straws.
And I would agree with her.
Okay, but it was one of those where I was just like, oh, okay. And every time I do it, she would bring it up. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm done using straws now, which is odd because sometimes I feel like you need a straw.
They also cause wrinkles, Jared.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fair enough. And then, yeah, I had to keep my facial hair a certain length at all times.
Oh.
Like, so if it grew too scraggly, no. But if I shaved it off, also no.
All right, so no straws and a clean-shaven face. I am going to write notes down for my next relationship. Thank you, Jared.
I think that's a new policy at Lotus Broadcasting. No straws and clean-shaven.
Yeah,
we're like the Yankees.
I had to have like a permanent 5 o'clock shadow, which is very difficult. If anyone here, you have seen my facial hair. It doesn't grow like that.
No, you've got your nickname is not only Poof but also Patches. Poof Justice. That's his nickname on the arena. Yeah. All right, let's go to number three.
Number three.
Oh, I was ready. Hey, we're all in different, it's Friday the 13th, and we're all in different positions. Normally, I'm listening to Cofield and Company. Now I'm on there. How about this? It is Friday the 13th, and as a fan, you played college ball, correct, Griffin?
That is correct.
So I was a ranked tennis player in high school in doubles in Southern California CIF. We were ranked fourth. And so I had a superstition as a player, and I'm not a superstitious person. I don't think I am. But back in the day, if my partner or I, I ever stepped on a bug before we played, we thought we were going to lose. And so we were ranked fourth. It was the CIF. We were in the playoffs and everything. And he stepped on a bug.
Oh.
And I noticed it. He didn't notice it. And I had to be the dummy that said, oh, man, you just stepped on, I think it was an ant.
Right.
You just stepped on an ant. And of course, we got our doors blown off of us.
Oh, man.
So I think sometimes it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That is true.
And that's what happens. So I try not to do it. I think that's what changed it. But that was our one, and it came back to bite us in the proverbial butt. And somehow there's one less ant in the world.
Good
which
or bad.
Will probably be done.
Good or bad thing? Who knows? We'll let the listeners debate whether that's
right.
Or bad. As a fan, outside of my Chicago Bears, if I'm watching a sports game and if I like have a bet on the game on a certain team, or if I just want, I want to see LeBron win a playoff series, and if I'm watching the game and my team or my player isn't doing quite well, I will actually turn the game to something else, because I almost feel like me watching it is causing this bad luck, is causing my rooting interest to fail. As an athlete, I did have one superstition. I had one. And it was something I gained when I was playing high school football back at Palo Verde High School, one of the top high schools in this state. I promise you that. we used to, before each game, we used to watch that General Patton video, the speech in front of the giant American flag.
I think it's George C. Scott.
George C. Scott.
Yeah. That's the actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, we used to watch that before every game. And it was like a superstition to not actually look at him. Don't look at him. Keep your eyes somewhere else. Don't ever watch him.
So you're only listening.
Just be listening, but you still got to be on. You can't listen to it like an audio. The video has to be playing.
That's a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm. And I took that with me to University of Utah. I took that with me to junior college in Arizona. I took that with me to Cal Poly. I would, every game by myself, have the video playing, listening in my ear, but I would never look the general in his eyes.
The general in his eyes. Jared, your stint as a professional foosball player, did you have any superstitions?
No. I just banned spinning from the table. But I remember whenever I was in high school baseball, my superstition was that I needed to basically say a line from a movie, whatever the line, I'll be back or something cool, in my head right before the pitcher let go of the ball. Otherwise, I would just overthink and be like, oh, that's fast. Instead, I'd just be like, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum. Crack.
Wow.
So that's all I got.
But I agree with you. Foosball, no spinning. You got to keep your hand on those people that do that, table soccer, some people call it, and they just whoosh. You can't do that. You got to keep your hand on it. You can spin a little bit, but your hand has to stay on the pole.
Oh, no,
for
I disagree.
Foosball.
Oh, no, I totally disagree.
I'm thinking the foosball rules, you can't. Are you a spinner?
I'm a pure spinner. I'm spinning that I'm at the roulette table.
You're not playing foosball.
You're right. I don't play foosball.
Yeah,
I dominate foosball.
You're playing whatever weird amalgamation of the rules you play. And the reason I know this is my mom was a foosball champion in Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
Wow, there's something.
That's
you gotta brag about that more often. How are we not hearing about that?
I'd have that on my resume.
The biggest claim to fame of your parents is, say it one more time.
My mom was the Kansas City, champion at foosball in the 70s.
There you go.
You come from championship blood then, Jared. That's nice to know.
Let's go to number two.
Number two.
All right, this one, you can probably tell I put this one on here. NHL, could this be one of the best NHL finals in history that many people don't care about? Now, here's the problem. A, it's June.
Yeah.
So, you know, hockey, I mean, unless it's your team, it's really starting to get a little bit, out there. Florida Panthers, not so much of a, they're the defending champions, and they played the Vegas Golden Knights the year before, so they, there's kind of, are they a dynasty? People are kind of bored with them, perhaps. Edmonton, it's kind of interesting. You got two huge stars there.
Mm-hmm.
But much like the NBA with the markets, you can almost say that with the NHL. But these games, three of the four games so far, game three was a blowout. Florida beat them in a blowout.
Mm.
But the other games have been all in overtime. And now we're tied 2-2 going back to Edmonton. That game tomorrow will be on the radio. It'll be over on our Fox Sports affiliate here in Vegas, 98.9 FM. But what other three of the four go to overtime? If all of a sudden another game goes to overtime and it goes to a game seven and that game goes to overtime, you might be looking at one of the best NHL finals of all time that most people would be like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, no. I mean, the action going on the ice should be enticing enough for people to wake up and realize, hey, maybe I should, even if I'm not a huge hockey fan, if you enjoy the game, it's definitely a series you should be tuning into. One storyline I'm kind of interested in, and my interest in this series, we saw what happened with the Four Nations and how much hype that got. Now, granted, that was included with a little political controversy from our standing president, but we saw how much hype and how much fire was lit under these fans during the Four Nations event from the NHL. So I'm saying you got a team in Edmonton where Canada hasn't won the Stanley Cup. It's been a minute now since they won.
Montreal Canadiens against the LA Kings.
Exactly. So my betting interest in this, or just my interest overall, is just, I'm rooting for Edmonton because I'm hoping that seeing a Canadian team winning the Stanley Cup. And maybe could reignite that flame that they saw during Four Nations, where they, Canada gets the Stanley Cup, and then maybe these United States teams, they say, you know what, we got to step it up. Then the heat gets a little bit bigger. It's gonna be it's just a good series, man. There's a lot on the line. It's gonna conclude swimmingly.
We're gonna make number one real quick.
Real quick.
Number one.
We won't be able to give this. Maybe we'll touch upon it again in the 5 o'clock hour. Tennessee softball coaches hoping some changes come to college sports. One of the things is contacting players directly or indirectly before their season ends and signing them to the NIL. I think that's dead wrong. Would you agree? During the season.
Yeah. No, it's college sports in general is a mess right now. There's a lot going on. There's, we just got the House versus NCAA settlement that just came to place. Then, there's still lawsuits and everything that's going to come with that before things are finally, done with and all the sports can go back to a little bit of normalcy. But these coaches, they just need to understand that it is, again, the Wild West in college sports. You can't control who's going to contact your players, who's going to offer them more money. You just kind of have to do the best with what you got and try to keep building a winning program.
When we come back, we are going to have Griffin carry the heavyweight because it's going to be all about UFC and boxing. One sport I like a lot more to watch live than the other. We'll delve into that. We'll see if Griffin can guess which one it is. That all coming up here. We are live from the Golden Circle at the TI Sportsbook.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
And it is Griffin Kemp and Doug Douglas filling in for Steve Cofield and his company down here at the Golden Circle at the TI. Come on down, say hi. Jared running the board, we thank him for that. And before we get to some combat sport talk, just want to make sure, because I know there's an update going around, but Asia Wilson is in concussion protocol after a head injury during Wednesday's loss to the Sparks. She'll miss not only tonight's game against the Dallas Wings, but is also expected to sit out Sunday's game as well due to league health protocols. So that is something of note. Now, we're going to This is combat sports. We're talking UFC, boxing, and even maybe a little, if we have time, even though maybe that should come first, the power slap. But you decide, because you are the expert on this, Griffin, so take the floor.
Absolutely. So first thing I want to talk with you, Doug Douglas. We got this Canelo Alvarez versus Terrence Crawford boxing event coming in September here in Vegas. It's set for September 13th. Now, the little controversy going on right now is the fact that that date is the same weekend as UNLV's home game against Idaho State this upcoming college football season. Now, the problem here is that the original plans for this card was to have it at Allegiant Stadium. The venue, they did announce that the fight is confirmed for that date, but they haven't confirmed the venue. So we've been talking about this on Cofield and Company. You know, what should be the move here? Should UNLV move their game to either, you know, Friday night or go to Sunday? Because I believe the Raiders play, I believe the Raiders are Monday Night Football that week.
Against the Chargers.
Against the Chargers. So, I mean, just, you know, with this situation, what do you think is the right move here? Should UNLV fans be that upset if the Rebels do decide to move their game? Should they fight to get some kind of compensation? What's the move here?
I would fight to get some kind of compensation. I do not like football games, college football games on Friday. I think that belongs to high school football, and it's Saturday. Having said that, they're moving a lot of games to Friday due to television revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, is the MGM Grand Garden Arena? Now, that does not hold anywhere near what Allegiant Stadium would. Or do you go all out and this would cost way too much money? Throw it into the sphere. Because they've had a UFC there.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a lot less people. But how would that be, a boxing match at the sphere?
Oh, man. I mean, I could imagine it being pretty good. I mean, UFC Noche, when they held it back at the sphere, it was a pretty good event. But honestly, you watch that. Watching that event, you could tell, like, this was months of preparation. This was...
That's the problem,
yeah. All the graphics that were going on, you know, in that sphere, all, you know, the whole setup, even the media that was there attending and covering it, even they had to do a thing where they were rotating in groups where the entire, you know, everybody who was there to cover it couldn't all be out there, so they were doing rotations. So it's, I think there's so much planning that goes into the sphere that maybe that might not be an option for them, but I also believe, you know, a fight like Canelo Alvarez versus Terrence Crawford, and I made this argument on the show this week, this is a big boxing event. This is, you know, two of arguably the biggest names in the sport finally coming together, finally going at it. It's what boxing fans have been, you know, preaching for. They've been wanting these, they want more big matchups, more star versus star matchups in boxing. So when you have an event like this, I argue that it's so big that it should take place in a stadium like Allegiant Stadium. T-Mobile's fine. T-Mobile's great. UFC goes there all the time. Boxing as well. But Allegiant Stadium, I mean, especially when you have, you know, determining the time it's at in the day or more closer to the evening, being in that stadium at night for Raider games is an experience. It's, you really get into it when you're there in that stadium. The game's going on. It's packed. You see the Vegas night or the Vegas lights coming out from behind the torch through the window. So it's such a great stadium. I think it's a perfect place to hold it. They just got to figure out this issue with UNLV.
You think no problem filling that stadium for this fight?
No. For this fight, no. This is I don't see them having any struggles packing that stadium, especially for this boxing event. You're going to have people not just in Vegas. You're going to have people coming flying in from across different countries, different parts of this country. I think that filling that stadium, I can't see them having an issue.
Sometimes, and I love going to boxing, mm-hmm. to spoil the tease there, I UFC Live to me is not, to me, it's just me.
Right.
Because it goes to the ground, and everybody's just watching the screen. So to me, live isn't something. Boxing live is awesome. I remember going to a few Ricky Hatton fights here in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that was just off the charts because just the atmosphere. But one thing I will say is, and I understand it's how many seats you can sell and everything like that, but there's something about the atmosphere at an MGM Grand Garden Arena or at an Allegiant Stadium, the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because a stadium, and I've seen some concerts at Allegiant Stadium, and I think they fixed a lot of the issues they originally had with the sound. But there's something more when it's at like an Allegiant, or not at an Allegiant, more at a T-Mobile or an MGM. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more intense because you're more in it. It's,
right.
It just seems like you're more in it. While if it's at Allegiant, a lot of people are just going to be looking up at the, you know, it just seems like it wouldn't be quite the same.
Yeah, yeah. And
atmosphere.
Atmosphere. Yeah, I see your point for sure. And, you know, that's the thing. It's, if it's at T-Mobile, maybe, you know, the difference between it being at T-Mobile and Allegiant Stadium, the price of tickets, what you're costing at the gate, that's going to change.
That's true.
You have a bigger stadium at Allegiant, you're not going to be able to charge as much for those tickets. But I think at the same time, you look at the options. And, I mean, the fact that this is going to be on Netflix, this isn't going to be a pay-per-view you have to buy. If you have a Netflix account, you are going to be able to watch this live on your Netflix account.
As long as the streaming holds.
As long as that streaming holds, exactly. Shout out Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
Right.
I think, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into this. I think, honestly, regardless of the stadium, where it's at, this is a great event for boxing, and it's going to be, I believe it's going to be successful regardless of the venue, wherever they decide to hold it. But you know who doesn't believe that? Oscar De La Hoya, old Golden Boy himself. He came out and he actually had his comments about this event, talking about, you know, how Dana White from the UFC is promoting it, really kind of saying that Dana kind of got a handout with this, that he's not a real boxing promoter, which, I mean, he's technically not
right.
Wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, but at the same time, he has a history in promoting boxing. So, I mean, come on. He would even criticize this because on the same day, September 13th, the UFC is holding their UFC Noche event in San Antonio. And, you know, he claims that maybe there's a little bit of favoritism in fact, that Terrence Crawford versus Canelo Alvarez might even take place earlier in the day compared to what normal boxing events would be, where a main event's taking place, what, 9, 10, or closer to that range.
Right, it's midnight Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's Golden Boy, so, you know, you take his words, you know, grain of salt. But, I mean, if that's the case, do you think that if this boxing event takes on at an earlier date and then they have to go out there and you've got the main event taking place around, like, 4 o'clock, maybe even 3 p.m., do you think that's a little weird? Do you think that'll kind of affect the impact of how
yes.
people talk about the event afterwards?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because like you said, it's also the atmosphere and how people – consume it outside. And if you're looking at Allegiant Stadium during the daytime,
yeah.
as you said, it's magical at night. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it during the day, but it's magical at night because of this lighting of the strip. And I think that's also just a great commercial for Las Vegas, you know, but while at the daytime, I think it loses luster. And you always expect, you know, big events to happen in prime time.
Right.
Maybe not as late as some of the NBA on the East Coast. Doesn't have to be that late. But for boxing, that's also on a weekend. That changes the algorithm. So, yeah, I think that does change it if they have to do it earlier in the day.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the argument what we've been seeing during these NBA finals with, you know, the whole outrage about the trophy not being on the court, the imaging not being on the court, the script of the finals not being on there, and NBA fans arguing, you know, it doesn't feel special. The NBA finals should feel like how the Super Bowl does, where they're showing, you know, the walkouts, the intros. They're making it, they're giving it that special feeling. And I think it kind of relates to this. If you are going to have a boxing event like this, make it feel special. Do what you need to do to, you know, create that aroma, create that, what do the kids say these days, aura. Give it more aura. Give it the aura it deserves. Because, again, if this is a successful event, goes off without a hitch, who knows? Maybe boxing continues on this track. Maybe Dana White continues on that track of promoting boxing, and we get more of these big stars coming together, and the sport grows because of it.
They need to hire some 14-year-old YouTuber to get it all set. You know,
hey,
get those influencers.
Those TikTokers are working hard, I promise you.
Now, do we have time to talk about Power Slap? Because you've got a community college teammate that is participating in Power Slap.
Juicy Finau. He was
what a great name.
Oh yeah. Juicy Finau, amateur wrestler up to this point. He is actually participating in the Power Slap Combine taking place here in Vegas. He was my teammate back at Mesa Community College. Big old D tackle, used to, you know, beat me up something fierce during practices, but the kindest guy, really cool, really great story going from, you know, playing football in college to becoming going into amateur wrestling and now becoming a power slap fighter. Like, I have to reach out to him. Hopefully when I go to cover this in 2 weeks, he will be there. I'll get a chance to interview with him. But, yeah, I'm very excited for him, happy for him, and I think he's going to do great.
Is it just – I've watched it just barely because I don't know. To me, that's a little – but it's just boom, right?
It's just boom. They just stand there, and it's just you're going. It's more of a. It's not a, like how you do with boxing and MMA, where you know head movement and how's your defense. There is no defense in power slap.
You can't move your head, right?
No, not at all. You got to keep there. You got to stay put. And it's more of a test of will. How strong is your jaw? How many slaps to the face can you take?
How far have you seen it go? Like how many rounds per se is the deepest you've ever seen it? Because I don't see how it goes past one round. But it has, right?
I've actually seen a couple of these power slap events where the two people going up, they will last for multiple rounds. They will take these, and it's these hits where they will maybe get knocked down a little bit. They get a little iffy, but they stand right back up and they take another one. It's crazy.
Yeah, count me out on power slap. All right, when we come back, I'm going to try to intrigue everybody and see if Jared and Griffin can figure out what I have of Brock Lesnar's talking about combat sport.
Yeah.
Coming up here on Cofield & Company, live from the Golden Circle Bar at the TI. We'll be back on ESPN Radio.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Doug Douglas here along with Griffin Kemp down here at the Golden Circle inside the TI. Come on down. As I said, it's the easiest place to get, at least for me, to get on the strip without really getting on the strip. Just take Spring Mountain, take it east, make a right there. You're in the parking lot. And by the way, free parking here at the TI. That's a key for me. But I've been teasing the story to Griffin ever since I knew that I would be doing this show, because Griffin is into UFC. He's into power slap. He's into boxing. He's into all that kind of stuff. And back in the day, way back, Cofield and I go back decades, and I would be Cofield's basically videographer.
Right.
So I would follow Cofield around, and I wish we could have monetized it, but if you go to Douglas57 on YouTube, you'll see that my account has millions of views because of UFC, because Doug, that's a huge thing.
Doug, I'm going to need you to tell me this, or tell me that name again when we go to break.
Well, they're all old now.
Okay. Oh, I still got to scour that. I got to check it out for sure.
Well, I can't have you cheat right now, because this is one of the things. So I was saying that I have a Brock Lesnar story, and that intrigued Griffin, and I know Jared. I actually have something, quote unquote, of Brock Lesnar's. I'm going to see if you guys can figure it out. So it all started at UFC 96, which was in Columbus. Mm-hmm. So I went back with Steve, and that was the first UFC event I ever attended live in person. And it was fun. It was a great time.
Right.
But they did it around Arnold Schwarzenegger's big, I forget what they called it. You know, he has a big bodybuilding thing every year.
Powerlifting, or bodybuilding, yeah, those events.
Yeah, whatever it is. So it was kind of, it was all around that weekend. So Arnold Schwarzenegger was there, blah, blah, blah. So one of the biggest, this has, I think, a couple hundred thousand views, and other people have stolen it.
Ooh.
And put it up, because when I looked at it today just to see, I saw, wait, this person has, they've had it up like 2 years, and but it's got the watermark that I have, but they just ripped it and stole it. So this is not the part you have to guess. But one of the bigger videos I ever got is we were up above a thing, and all of a sudden, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming through the convention center, and Brock Lesnar, Randy Couture, bunch of other fighters, I think, I'm not sure if Junie Brown, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he comes in, he shakes their hand, and he grabs, I think the belt was Lesnar's at the time.
Right.
It might have been. And he grabs the belt, and he immediately hands it to Randy Couture.
Oh.
But you can see, you can watch this video, you can see it. Brock's face was a little hard, and then he goes and he shakes everybody else's hand, and then he finally shakes Brock Lesnar's hand, Arnold Schwarzenegger. God. Well, I mean, not that way, but he's just, you know, he's being nice, and then he's out of there, me and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, I just happened to catch that. I'm the only person to catch that on video. There's really no audio of it because I'm up above. It's like I'm up, you know, another level or something.
Right.
So anyway, fast forward to back in Las Vegas, UFC 100. I get credentialed because I'm just going to follow Steve around and once again take video. Did you watch UFC 100, or are you too young? I don't even know. It was.
It might have been. I got to look.
Would have been
back
2009,
on.
I think, off the top of my head. I think it's 2009. So Jared, this is where I'll bring you in. There was a huge controversy involving Brock Lesnar right after his fight. He was victorious. I think maybe, and this will once again, I'll show my ignorance. I think it was Frank Mir he was fighting, maybe.
I don't know. I have my guess lined
up.
It
was Brock.
Oh.
Yes, it was. It was Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir.
Oh, there we go. Well, there we go. My
you have his shorts is my guess.
No, I don't have his shorts. I have what was the huge controversy for that fight. Is it now without – you're not cheating, are you?
No. I just literally tell you what the date and all that.
All right.
I want to take a guess, though. Brock Lesnar. So you have – what, picture evidence of this controversy?
No, I've got the evidence in my house. Then I took a picture just to show you that even all these years later, I still have it. And Steve Cofield saw me grab it.
What? Jared, you want to guess first? You want me?
I guessed shorts. I was wrong.
Shorts?
Yeah, shorts. First of all, I might have two black eyes if I had that.
I'm going to guess Brock Lesnar's steroid needle.
No, it had to do with the big controversy was he pummeled one of their sponsors in the ring. He said, I'm drinking Coors Light, not Budweiser, because blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God.
Then he came back into the room, and Dana White.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Jackson's Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
And we forgot it is the Reno Hour, so that was a hard out. We'll finish that story at 5 o'clock because we have Chuck Esposito, Eye on Sports Gambling. Chuck, it's been a million years, but how's it going?
It's going great, guys. How are you tonight?
We're living the dream on Friday the 13th. We think some people are superstitious, and that's why Steve Cofield's not here. But you know what? You put me in a casino, I own a black cat. Friday the 13th is magic for me. So as soon as we're off this show, I'm going over to that craps machine right over there. That's the way I roll.
Sounds good.
But, Chuck, these playoffs, I just wanted to ask you one quick question, then we'll get to some more maybe general questions. But in these playoffs, in-game betting, it seems like there's been so many huge comebacks where I would think the odds, for instance, just going to last night, Florida up 3-0 in the second period. I mean, is in-game betting for these NBA and NHL playoffs, is this the time to get the better odds and sometimes take a team that's down by a lot?
It absolutely is, Doug. I mean, the live wagering aspect is makes up a bigger piece of what our daily handle and what our daily business is. It's probably one of the fastest growing parts of sports gaming. The same game parlays and the live betting both have really captivated because it's so easy. You've got that sports book in the palm of your hand with your mobile device with SDN Sports. So I'd say absolutely yes. It's a big part and something that we see some major swings on pretty much every minute, especially late in the games.
It's fun, and that is a great thing about that because there are certain teams that you can see and almost trend that way. And I'll almost put Edmonton with their, you know, sometimes shaky defense and explosive offense. I almost, when I bet, I want to wait until they're down by a few goals and get the better odds.
Yeah, I would say that there's definitely that element to it. I mean, it scares me because I think Bobrovsky is the better of the two goaltenders, and I know how good Florida is on both ends of the ice, and I think their style is different when they have a lead. But Edmonton has shown throughout these playoffs, after trailing against the Kings and the way they came back in those games and what they've done so far to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, that they're never out of the game. I think that series now at 2-2 is really interesting. Last year, 7 games, Florida won the first 3. Edmonton won the next 3 before Florida won Game 7 at home. It's 3 games went over, 3 games went under, 1 fell on 6. These are games are all going over, but with Edmonton stealing home ice back now, they know that there's a Game 7. It's going to be in their barn.
Yeah, it's been a very entertaining finals. I will say, just from the regular season, Chuck, one thing that I like to do is I would wait till the Buffalo Sabres would get up by 3 or 4 goals and then bet the other team. And I swear, there was like a 3-week stretch where I thought, you know what, I can just retire and move to wherever I want to. So, but it is interesting to see those trends. Let's jump to, of course, the game that's going to be tipping off here in just a little bit. What is the latest line on the Pacers and OKC? And do you see it moving at all, or is it pretty much set now?
We opened at 6, guys, and it really hasn't moved at all. The total has gone up 2 points, and I think maybe even higher than that, some places industry-wide. For us, and You know, you've seen a lot of Pacer money line play in this game, just like we have in the last couple of games. Ticket count clearly favors the Pacers at about 61%. Overwhelmingly, ticket count favors the over at 74%. Yet the money line split is about 50-50 right now. So speaking for us, our side of the counter, having OKC win by 1-5 tonight and keeping the game under is probably best case scenario.
Is there any individual prop that is kind of being bet a little bit more?
Nothing that's crazy that really kind of jumps out. You know, again, for us, it's just this total continues to creep up. I think we got lucky in the last game. There was a number of free throws that were missed down the stretch. It looked like a dead under game. And then I was worried. It looked like it was going to go over. But we were fortunate. We had a lot of free throws missed. But it seems like even games that are trending way under, they find a way to make us sweat toward the end. So in both the hockey and the basketball finals, we have been clear under fans in every game in both sports so far.
I got to admit, as a bettor, it's fun to hear that the sportsbook director at the TI also sits there and sweats. You know, you guys are just sweating maybe on the different side. But you know, we're all in the same boat, right, in a way.
Yeah, no question. I'm just saying from our end, you know, we're looking at it and we're talking internally and, you know, we're rooting for our side, what is best for us. And we're clearly under fans, and games that look like they're definitely unders, somehow we find our way going, you've got to be kidding me. But again, the missed free throws really were beneficial for us in the last game.
Now, I think the second round, I believe, I know I've got the on the screen right here, I think the second round of the U.S. Open is done now, I believe. If not, it's pretty close to being done. What kind of interesting things have you got for now that the cut has been set for the U.S. Open coming up on for this weekend?
Same thing. I mean, we adjust the odds after each round. You've seen kind of the live wagering on that really take off, especially the four majors in golf. That's become a bigger part, too. But just adjusting the odds after each round, you see a huge increase in handle on that across the board as well. So you almost say this time of year is a little bit of a downtime, but there really isn't, because there's always so much going on in all sports that make it fun. But, hey, we got baseball going on right now. You've got, you know, golf. You've got the finals in two different sports. And, you know, I think Burns and Spahn right now would be good outcomes for us without seeing a household name maybe at
yes.
1, 2, or 3 in the U.S. Open.
Isn't it funny how I'm old enough to remember when there were downtimes in Vegas? You know, it was December except for...
Me too, buddy. Me too.
Right. And now it's like... Every weekend, I'm like, the airport's packed, which is great. Don't get me wrong, but it's just amazing how now the downtime in sports, like you said, or in Vegas, it just seems like, you know, it's always something going on, which is fun. In baseball, now this is the time of year where I usually leave baseball betting alone in April and May, because I like to see trends, and I think sometimes you get a false trend. Like the Mariners for a while were hot. Now is a time for me where I just... The Mariners, to me, are just a team to bet against almost without even looking at the matchups. Are there trends that you guys are seeing, and how are you guys adjusting the lines or not? Or is it more you just take it by game, pitcher by pitcher?
No, I mean, that's part of it. I think when you look at baseball, you have the haves and the have-nots. You know, we know there's no salary cap in baseball. It's a little bit different than some of the other sports as far as maybe that level playing field. But you've got some teams right now. If it's the White Sox, the A's are starting to – they've lost 3 in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. Marlins 2-8 in their last 10 games. The Rockies, who have really struggled so far this year, single-digit wins at both home and away. We are clearly rooting for those teams on a nightly basis, and rooting against the Dodgers, the Giants, the Cubs, the Mets, you know, the Phillies, the Yankees, every single night, the Tigers. So there's that clear split that in baseball, you know, there's no real point spread unless you're betting teams on the run line. And we've seen some 2.5 run lines so far this year, which is really early. In the past, I think we've seen those mainly after the All-Star break and after the trade deadline, not in late May or early June. But parlays, especially for our market, is you see a lot of these 3, 4, 5, 6, 17 parlays, and we've seen a number of them hit of late. And again, it's them putting the good teams in and bidding against the bad teams. But when they play each other, it's even magnified. We are rooting for one of those teams in the bottom to really win on a nightly basis to be that parlay buster.
Yeah, get on a little Rockies three-game win streak. You guys are having a party.
Oh, I was loving it last week. I was loving it, buddy.
Hey, Golden Circle, we are at, of course, at the TI. We're speaking with Chuck Esposito, sportsbook director. Can you help me? Because I have not been able to explain to some of my friends who do not live here, but they're always calling, you know, from out of state saying, hey, Doug, can you put $12 on, you know, whatever or something? Can you explain? And I'm going to have Jared pull this. And I'm going to send it to him. Can you once and for all explain on most bets, if it's minus 110, what that means to these people? Because I have tried for 30 plus years to explain minus 110 to them when they say, oh, I'll take $10 on this. I go, no, you don't want $10. So minus 110, please succinctly explain it.
I guess the easiest way to say it is that on a straight college or a straight football or basketball game, that minus 110 is a house vig. I mean, if you're paying that premium for the wager, but if you win, you always get it back. So you put up the 11 to win 10, your team wins, you are getting 21 back. It's just if you lose, that's kind of the price of doing business. It's just you can lay a money line price where you're laying 6-5, 7-5, 8-5, or greater, if that helps kind of explain it a little bit on money lines or maybe some bigger spreads. But that's kind of in its simplest form. That's just kind of the premium to make the bet. But if you win, you do get it back.
Right. I don't know how many times I've been behind in a line and the ticket taker, the person in front, somebody says, oh, I'll take $10 on that. You can just see the ticket taker being like, do you want to make it 11 in case you win? I'm not paying, you know, I'm not paying back.
It's funny you say that because when I'm out there, I'm telling my ticket writers, ask them if they want 11 to win 10, 22 to win 20, 110 to win 100. Explain to them what that means. But you're right. It is foreign to a lot of people.
The math is not that hard, people. It's easy. Go back and watch your multiplication rock. Something
very,
to that effect.
True, but it's great now with, you know, the mobile app and the kiosks and all the different wagering options. I think it makes it, you know, so much fun for the guests. And we know it's hot outside, but you can have the cool STN mobile app at the palm of your hand and just so many different ways to bet the game with props and, as we talked about, you know, adjustments made after each round of the golf. The live aspect, the live in the NBA, the NHL finals, it really does make it simplified for the guest.
It really does because it'll tell you right there what the payout is, and I do like that, and I do have that app. So I appreciate it, Chuck. It's been a long time since you and I've talked. I know we talked decades ago, so I was very excited to see on a day that I'm filling in for Cofield that you were on, and I appreciate you spending some time with us here.
Oh, absolutely, Doug. It was great catching up a bit. Enjoy it as well, and hopefully we can chat again soon. Have a good weekend, and good luck at that table you said you're going to go hang out at after the show.
That's right, the little craps machine there. I love hitting the button, watching those dice bounce up and down. All right, thanks a lot, Chuck.
Great, buddy. All right, take care.
All right, I want to make sure and let somebody know, and maybe one of you guys remember his name, the guy who came up and said, are we the tallest He
no,
did say
but
his name.
I cannot remember what
Darn
he said.
But he was wearing an A's hat.
Yo, yeah. In fact, I think he's still over there. In fact, maybe during the break, we'll go run over and try and get that gentleman's
But
name.
I do want to say that he did come down and get the tickets. We said the first person to come down and said the tallest people.
Yeah.
He came down and got the comedian tickets. We've got a few more tickets if you stop by. How about this? From the world of John Wick. Ballerina. We have tickets to go see Ballerina. I mean, it's from the world of John Wick, so something tells me it's Ballerina up to a few levels.
Those are some good movies now, those John Wick movies. So if they're going to put on a little music concert, I might have to see if I could get myself some of those tickets.
You might have to see it. Well, it has been a privilege to be on with Reno. We know we're about to lose Reno, but as I said, I have relatives in Reno. My aunt who turned 94 and my cousin live up there in Reno. So thank you. Doug Douglas here, Griffin. If you're in Las Vegas, guess what? You get another hour of this magic where I'll finish that story, unfortunately. If you're in Reno, you can always get the podcast later and start. We'll start right at 5 o'clock because we don't want to keep people waiting that long because, let's be honest, it's probably not that good of a story to tease after two breaks.
I don't believe that one bit.
After two breaks, even though you watched the video of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Great, great. You undersold.
There we go. Douglas 57. We'll post that on some social for ESPN so people can get to it really quick. All right. When we come back, finish the Brock Lesnar story, and we'll get into football right here on ESPN Radio, live from the Golden Circle TI on the Strip.
Woohoo!